Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
WTIC this time on Tuesdays. The great Tom Scott, former state senator, political pundit, and hard-hitting talker, joins us. Hello there, Thomas.
How you doing there, Todd?
I hope you're enjoying this period of high sweat weather.
Well, I am, but I can't help but look over my shoulder because, as Connecticut's Mark Twain once said, no person is safe in their person and possessions when the legislature is in session. And
I know, even when it's just for a couple of days, it's scary, isn't it?
It doesn't take long for these guys to engage in mischief and political skullduggery. And we're certainly seeing a lot
true.
Of that today. And most particularly, I mean, in addition to compromising free, fair, and open elections, they're also harassing legitimate, honest cops, and in so doing, compromising public safety. And I'm happy to get into that if you'd like.
Yeah, sure. Give us your take on it.
Well, you know, the problem in Connecticut, as with a lot of places, is far too often, as it is, the violent criminal is back on the streets before his victim even leaves the hospital. It's going to get worse now. We're going to be handcuffing cops with this so-called police reform bill that everybody's rushing to pass. You know, where were the public hearings? Where were the experts? Were any victims of violent crime consulted about what we're doing to law enforcement in the state of Connecticut? This is a bad, bad bill, and it passed overwhelmingly in the House. The word is it's going to pass in the Senate. I don't know if it will be by as comfortable a margin, but a win is a win for these guys. And it's being pushed by the American Civil Liberties Union, Connecticut chapter. You know who they are. They're the ones that usually can be counted on to oppose much of what's wholesome in America. And they're America's and Connecticut's leading lobbyists for violent criminals. And people really ought to be asking themselves, do we really have a policing problem in my town? To the extent there's a problem in Hartford, is that the same problem that the people in West Hartford experience? And we can go right down the list. We know that the urban centers of Connecticut have a disproportionate share of crime, although I've been talking to police lately, and increasingly, because of the youthful offender status the legislature foolishly changed a year or so ago, there are young people all over Connecticut stealing cars and engaging in extraordinary crimes, knowing full well that they've got six strikes before they even get hauled before a judge. You know,
yeah, but
anything... A lot of this.
Yeah, I just wanted to. Well, obviously, it's crazy stuff, and that's what I wanted to get you to hone in on a little bit. There is, it seems to me, a split in the Democratic Party that is wrestling with these issues right now, and they've got the urban representatives who now have the power of the reaction to the George Floyd killing and the Black Lives Matter movement, and all of that energy now being focused in on the Democratic power structure. So those Democrats who want to be more responsible and maybe more cautious are losing the argument. Is that your take on what's going on right now?
Yes, and Todd, it almost suggests that there are moderate and reasonable Democrats in the legislature. There aren't, by the way. They're all left-wing Democrats now. The days of a moderate or Democrat legislator or conservative Democrat are long gone. There are Democrats, however, who do put their finger up in the air to see which way the wind is blowing, because in the
exactly.
end, they may be liberal to the core, but they can't grab power and hold power if they get defeated. So some people politically, opportunistically, will look at the tea leaves to see what the folks back home think about all this stuff.
Yeah, so this is, I think, an important moment for people who are thinking and trying to figure out what's going on to look and to say, we should not go along with anything these people want to do, because, as you pointed out, Tom, these are the anti-American Democrats against the communist Democrats wrestling for primacy. And either way, America loses. And I think we can look at power and the way it's exercised in this country today and say, when there's a crisis like this and there's a big emotional explosion that can be kidnapped into bad legislation, we should not trust them to do anything. And we should not give it our sanction.
You know, talk to police, Todd. I'm sure you have. And people in your audience, and ask them what they think about this bill and the practical implications of it. Not only do they feel put upon and harassed, and none of them, they're embarrassed and horrified by what happened to George Floyd. We've moved way beyond that, Todd, as you well know. But if you ask any police officer in Connecticut, what it's really like out there on the streets, especially after midnight, not just in the cities where we do see disproportionate crime, but in the suburbs and even in the rural areas, they will tell you the horror stories. This notion that you have to give up consent searches, what that means, Todd, is if you pull somebody over because they're swerving down the road or they have a busted taillight or they run a red light or a stop sign, if you say to that driver, "May I search your car because they have reason to believe there may be a weapon there or drugs or whatever," if the driver says yes for whatever reason, then they have a right to search the car. Now, some drivers will say yes because they want to be exonerated, because maybe they're pulled over for suspicious activity because there was some burglary in the neighborhood, and they say, no, search my car. I didn't do anything wrong. Under this yep. bill, even with consent, you're not allowed to search the car. How crazy is that?
Well, it's scary, because these are tools that police officers use to keep the peace. And they're dealing, as we've pointed out, I think, with some shady characters at times. And they want to be able to throw a little hook out there into the water and pull it back in and see if they can catch a fish here and there. And to take away those tools makes everyone less safe. And I'm not sure what the upside is that we can point to with that kind of measure where the average person benefits.
Todd, you can't destroy our way of life, and you can't tear down this country completely and in its entirety unless you destroy the many of the pillars of our communities, our states, and our nation. And that includes diminishing and demeaning the men and women who proudly wear law enforcement uniforms. The last report I heard is over 400 police in New York City have filed the paperwork for early retirement. You know, and we're not New York City. But if there's a reason they're doing that. They're doing it because they no longer feel appreciated. They no longer feel that anybody has their back. And we're seeing that now in Connecticut with this bill. You are going to see fewer people go into law enforcement. You're going to see more people take early retirements. But the scarier part is, how many of these police are going to have the tools they need, all of the tools they need, to preemptively stop violent crime from happening? It's not just showing up after the fact. It's the preemptive law enforcement that we've gotten very used to in this state. We're going to lose a lot of that. And I'm hearing from police who are telling me that. And when they explain mm-hmm. it, I get it.
We're talking to Tom Scott, former state senator and political pundit and political handler of, well, advisor to candidates and such. Yeah, so there's that. There's early voting being passed. There's this issue regarding skyrocketing electric bills. Any of those you want to address, Tom?
Well, listen, I'll tell you, I'll defer to a regular on your show. You know, Len Susio has quite a history on this. He actually exposed some sleazy billing methods and procedures that were
used
by Eversource 3 years ago. And he actually, it changed. I mean, he actually filed a complaint with the Department of, I forget the department, but it's the, like Consumer Protection, but it's the Electricity Advocate. And with the Department of Public Utility Control, and he made a change. But he voted against this, and he's one of only three. Think about that. Out of 36 senators, there were only three that voted no. And he said at the time, he, you know, the Len Susio, the Paul Revere of the taxpayer and the consumer, Len Susio said 3 years ago, warning, 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 massive new rate increases are coming, and nobody wanted to hear it. So, and it's not that Len Susio is clairvoyant or that he's Nostradamus, but he's a smart guy, and he actually read the bill, and he said, wait a minute, this is a ripoff. We're bailing out a nuclear power plant for bad decisions they made, and we're sticking the bill to ratepayers. And I, you know, I was talking to Len Susio about this because when I heard about it, he's the first guy I called because he's the go-to guy. He's the expert. And here's what he said, which I haven't seen reported anywhere else. These rates are going to go up massively over the next 10 years. Every year they're going to go up. And so Len Susio's position is the next legislature has to stop this. They have to renegotiate what they did in the first place. So, yeah, my hat's off to Len Susio. I mean, he's the one that warned the entire state of Connecticut. Unfortunately,
yes, he did.
People in power were listening.
Yeah, we had him on a couple of hours ago, so we talked about it with him. It's quite remarkable.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I missed that.
All right, Tom Scott, thank you, sir. We enjoy our weekly visits. Thank you for carving out the time for us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.